You could easily have thought that most of the action in the world of coffee has been towards obfuscation of something that was once very simple, as baristas slowly replaced sommeliers as the high priests of Kant. Coffee began to have not just a backstory and citrus notes, but a GPS-enabled app allowing adherents to easily locate the cafe using a Mazza Super Jolly, the only really acceptable bean grinder. But all of this is not entirely a bad thing, says James Hoffman of Square Mile Coffee Roasters, who supply only London's most precious coffee shops and are credited, by the app to be fair, with being at the forefront of a coffee revolution. Much as with wine, says Hoffman, somewhere in there amongst the faff are a few facts about single estates and brewheads that might just make your coffee taste a little better. Caroline Hennessy met Hoffman when he visited Ireland for the Dublin Tea and Coffee Fair ahead of the launch of his, how'd you guess, demystifying book, The World Atlas of Coffee.
It's been a book that I wrote mainly because I wish it existed. Lots of people are getting more and more interested in coffee. And as you dive into coffee, you start to realize that there's a huge, diverse range of flavors. And you kind of want to understand why coffee tastes the way it does. And a really big part of that is where the coffee is from. So up until now, it was really hard to go and buy a book. And if you like wine, and you like a little bit of wine from Beaujolais, let's say, it's pretty easy to buy the World Atlas of Wine, go to the Beaujolais chapter, read a little bit about it, understand the kind of grapes they grow there, understand the traditions of that region. Coffee has great regionality, it has great stories to tell, but it's if you've had a coffee from a region in Colombia called Huila, it's really hard to go and find anything about that. And you know, as I was getting into coffee, it was the book I wanted to own because often I taste coffee and just want to know more about this part of Kenya or why Ethiopian coffees taste the way they do or, you know, what it is about Brazil that gives it that the coffee's that kind of chocolatey, sweet, nutty kind of characteristic. So that was the book I set out to write. So it's designed really, it's written really not for the coffee industry, because we ought to know what we're talking about in a way. It's really designed for people who are a little bit interested in coffee, because I think coffee, like wine, gets a little bit more enjoyable when you know a little bit more about it. And I just wanted a book that you could flick open, the chapter on Guatemala, read a little bit about it, drink your coffee from Guatemala, and enjoy it just a little bit more. You know, buying coffee, in one way, it's gotten much easier. There's more and more people who are passionate about selling great coffee, who are roasting great coffee. In Dublin and around the world, there are more cafes serving great coffee. But at the same time, if you're a consumer, suddenly coffee got quite complicated. You know what I mean? Instant was quite simple. You're stuck with your brand. Suddenly now, there's lots of little roasters. All the coffees have kind of unpronounceable names. And it's really hard to understand what it is you're buying. Is this from a farm? Is this from a cooperative? Is this, what's this all about? And so for me, I also want to make buying coffee a little less mysterious, a little less intimidating, because sadly, coffee has a bit of a reputation now as being a little bit pretentious, a little bit snobby. And that's a real shame, because most people like coffee, and there should be no barrier to entry. There should be no hurdle to jump over. You don't have to prove yourself to anyone to enjoy better coffee. And that's a really big motivation for me. I think what's driven it is it starts with a small group of people who open businesses that are very passionate about the flavor that coffee is capable of delivering to a customer, be it in an espresso or a cappuccino or just a cup of filter coffee. Because essentially, I don't think people realized what was possible. You know what I mean? People weren't seeking out something like these kind of coffees because they simply didn't know they existed. So once you start sort of seeding this into a market and people have a chance to become exposed to it, to taste it, to enjoy it, you know, people like nice things the world over. And the good thing about really great coffee is that it has more of the things we like, which is sort of sweetness and kind of pleasant flavors, and less of the things we don't like, which is kind of bitterness and all of the kind of unpleasant side of coffee that we suffer through to get our caffeine in the morning. You know, I think more and more people are just simply aware of the possibilities now, and they want their coffee to taste better. They know, everyone knows good from bad. I think a lot of people feel like, oh, I'm not an expert, I'm not a connoisseur. You don't have to be. I think anyone can tell good from bad pretty easily. And I think everyone will prefer or will try to buy the best they can. you know, at a price that suits them for sure, in all things. Be it, you know, no one wants to think that they're buying the worst wine. No one wants to think they're buying the worst food or clothes or anything else. It's for the money I'm willing to spend, what's the best I can get, you know? And so that idea is kind of new to coffee, but it's very exciting.
James, you yourself, what has been your coffee journey?
I've been in coffee about a decade now. Currently, most of my job is I'm a founder and co-owner of a coffee roasting company in London. Back in 2007, I was the World Barista Champion, so I used to compete in the kind of coffee competitions and did quite well in those. But yeah, most of my time has been in coffee, focused on education training, often teaching people to make coffee, teaching baristas how to make better coffee in cafes. But yeah, for the last 5-6 years, we've been roasting and working with cafes in London. But when you meet passionate cafe owners, it's hard not to want to work with them a little bit. And so we'll often send coffee for a week or two around Ireland, generally, to just try and bring up quality and expose more people to the good stuff.
James Hoffman there, author of The World Atlas of Coffee, which will be published on the 6th of October by Firefly Books.